It's Monday, KFI AM 640 handle here. Morning crew, looks like everybody is back in the saddle again. Michelle back from...
Why, thank you.
Yes.
Her Highness has returned.
That's right.
I'm back.
She is back. Which means I now get abused. I get the crap kicked out of me as a regular basis.
Well, you should have been getting it kicked out of you while I was gone.
Not that much.
I trained those people.
I know, but not that much. Not that much.
That's because they're just
not
wussies.
That much. They are, and it goes down levels of wussiosity. You, of course, being at the top of the non-wuss, then comes Sharon Bellio. Less so. On the wuss level, although she started seriously wussy, and now, of course, it has gotten a lot less. And then it was Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think even referred to you as Mr. Handel at
she did,
times.
Initially,
oh,
yes.
Oh, I
got
to talk to her about
she did call me Mr. Handel.
That.
And then I said, there is no Mr. Handel here. There is Your Highness. Your Excellency works, but no Mr. Handel. Mr. Handel is dead.
I need to talk to her.
That was my dad was Mr. Handel.
Retraining.
Yes, retraining. Anyway, Hoffman, good morning to you.
And to you, sir.
And Mike Nolan.
Handel, good morning.
And the infamous Rich Murata.
I'd like to know if Michelle was offered some exotic
I was supposed
place
to
for
be.
Her vacation.
I was supposed to be in Hawaii, but it didn't work out.
It
but
did?
I was in the exotic location and apparently meth capital of California. Lake Arrowhead and Big Bear.
Meth capital.
A lot of meth going on up in Lake Arrowhead and Big Bear.
See, I thought it was Albuquerque.
And you can't even go to the lake. Like, you can't, if you are not a resident, you cannot, they will not let you touch the lake.
Anywhere?
Unless you buy a pass to touch the lake.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That works for me.
No
it's
public
fenced
beach.
Off. You can't get in there.
Nor should you be able to.
You can't even feed the ducks.
Nor should be able to.
Well, how did you decipher that it's the meth capital of America?
Oh, we saw lots of meth girls. Lots of girls
lot of
growing
girls.
Up in the parking lot. And right. Girls with their moms, whose the moms look like grandmas with no teeth.
Oh, yeah, tweakers.
Yeah, a
excellent.
Lot of tweakers, skinny tweakers growing up in the parking lot
sounds
of the
good
Lake
to me.
Arrowhead
sounds
Village.
Good to me. I want to date one of those.
But we had a nice little cabin, so it was nice.
Okay. And then Larry?
I'm going to have to move to Lake Arrowhead.
Yeah, you will.
They have true. In the cabins, they have giant jacuzzi tubs.
They do.
Filled with meth?
Yeah, filled with
no.
meth.
But we have, giant jacuzzi tubs.
Do you think those tweaker girls are loose and easy?
Well,
God, I hope
if
so.
They, if they want meth,
do you
I'm
have
sure
meth
they are.
Or money for meth?
Yeah, there you go.
How expensive is meth?
Why are you looking at me?
I'm just curious. I mean, we can look that
I
up.
I think you can buy meth. I think you can buy a little bit of meth for $20,
right.
You know. But there are people who spend $100 a day on meth.
I was having a conversation with my daughter last night. We went to see Gravity, as a matter of fact. My daughter, Barbara, and my lovely but elderly wife, Marjorie.
Were you disappointed that it wasn't the musical number from Wicked?
as a matter of fact, at the end, yes, I was. As a matter of fact, at the end of this hour, I have a musical review.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, you went on a date with that guy, David
How
David
wait,
Gaines.
Before you say anything, Handel,
David
how
Gaines.
Much you want to bet he canceled? Did he cancel on you?
Yeah.
I was right.
We didn't get our recording yet,
No, I know, because I still haven't called him. I'll get him in.
Wait a minute, call him? You didn't. Weren't you supposed to see him? Didn't you talk to him before
no,
you got
here's,
in?
No, here's what happened. I was
he exists.
To, Friday night, we went to the opening of Kiss Me, Kate, and afterwards... We went to the cast party. I went as a guest of Davis, incidentally, on Friday night. And we were supposed to get together afterwards, and he just wasn't feeling well. And he had two performances the next day, so he canceled on me. And I think he probably was feeling fine.
Oh, you sound like a jilted lover.
I feel like a jilted one. Anyway, Kiss Me, Kate. I'll be doing a musical review, of course. Actually, I have to stop calling them reviews, don't I? Musical theater plug, I think, is more like it. Although I do review it. I tell people what it's about. All right. Also, I Gravity. Anybody see Gravity yet?
I have not seen it yet, but
yes,
I want to see it.
What'd you think?
I talked to you last week about it, remember?
I forgot. No, I don't remember at all.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I liked it.
Not great.
Right.
But very,
right.
very good, really interesting, tense. And,
yeah, very well. That first scene, 17 minutes with on a continuous scene. I mean, no edits.
Is it believable at all?
Completely. It is so astoundingly real, except for a couple of things, which are ludicrous.
I'm sorry, but if you get hit by space junk, aren't you going to, like, be killed instantly?
Yeah, if you get hit.
Hurtling at you.
If you get hit.
Well, in the promo for the movie, it looks like she gets hit with stuff.
No, she doesn't get hit. Because if she were to get hit.
Flying all over?
No. The vehicle that she's in gets hit. She miraculously escapes being hit, per se. One of the parts that I thought was completely, insanely, beyond belief, unbelievable. Rich, do you remember when she's running out of oxygen? She's up in flying in space, and she's trying to get to the rescue vehicle, the Soyuz rescue vehicle, and she's at 1% oxygen, just right. Dropping like crazy. It went from 8% to 5% to 1%. Very, very quickly it's going down. And then she's at 1%, and for the next 20 minutes, she stays at 1% until she runs out.
Well, she's taking very small breaths.
Yeah, no, she was screaming, as a matter of fact, panicking. And then once she ran out of oxygen, George Clooney, spoiler alert, George Clooney tells her she still has oxygen in her suit, so therefore she could last a little while longer. And she's breathing carbon monoxide. That goes on for 20 minutes. Then she, in the vehicle, spoiler alert, in the Soyuz, she decides she's going to kill herself. So she turns down the oxygen, allows carbon monoxide to build up, puts her hands on her chest, so she is going to die in the I am dead and I'm in a coffin position. And so she drifts off to sleep. And she imagines at that point, I don't want to get into it. So she imagines being rescued to an extent. And then she wakes up startled and then puts the oxygen back on because she realized she's going to save herself.
Wait a second. Don't they give astronauts those pills to kill themselves if they ever get stuck in space?
I don't think so.
They don't give them those little cyanide
capsules? No, I don't think so.
Why would they do that?
Because if they get stuck in space, who wants to starve to death?
No one gets – you don't starve to death. You die very quickly. Or you die until you run out of oxygen, and those are only like an hour.
Wouldn't it be less of a painful death if you took a cyanide capsule?
No. As a matter of fact, it's carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide, and you drift off to sleep.
I don't believe it.
Okay. Sounds like Rich. Anyway, a lot of – but other than that, the sets themselves, the spacecraft were fabulous the way they were created. And then the gravity aspects of it as they're floating around is just tremendous.
How can they name a movie about gravity when there isn't it?
That's a very good point. Lack of gravity was gravity. Also, I thought, Rich, I want you to compare. Remember the old Superman television series with George Reeves?
Oh, yes.
All right. You remember how he used to fly?
Yes.
This is better.
Out in front of him.
Right. This is better in terms of the special effects. I just want to point that out. Remember, he used to be on a board. And then the screen would be, if someone was hand cranking the sky behind them flying back. Okay, we're going to come back. We got a lot to cover today. Obamacare, big, big problems with Obamacare. And then I want to talk about the reaction to those problems. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Big, big problems with Hoffman, right?
We're swimming in information and not afraid of sharks. The political ones, the real ones, on the other hand, make us pee.
KFI, more stimulating talk radio.
KFI AM 640, handle here. And good morning to one and all. The entire A-team is here. One more word about the film Gravity, or as Mr. Mike Nolan points out, lack of gravity. Sandra Bullock is just about 50 years old. And my God, the kind of shape she is in. Just spectacular, hard body, just, oh.
Too bad she can't act.
She actually does a good, she won an Academy Award.
Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, Blindside, yes. No one's blind, incidentally.
Blindside was good.
I thought it was great.
I can't believe you didn't like Blindside.
Yeah, Blindside was excellent. I tell you what else is, we were just
talking. Did you see that butt on Sandra Bullock in Blindside?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. You see the butt on her in this film. She wears a lot of underwear she has. Yeah, she's in her panties a lot. But they're sports panties. They're not thong panties or anything. The other thing is, as far as terrific, fabulous films, The Butler. I think it's Lee Daniels, The Butler. It's excellent. I mean, that is a superb film. Just wondering.
Is that the Oprah movie?
Yeah, she's in it.
How did Jane Fonda do as Nancy?
Did great. All those, John Cusack as Nixon, Robin Williams as Truman. I mean, really good. Everybody you've ever seen on screen is there in cameos, and they all did a phenomenal job.
What about that movie where the Somali pirates take Tom Hanks?
Oh, yes.
Is that supposed to be good?
I've heard it's very good. I haven't seen it yet.
I think I may go see that one this week.
Yeah, it's supposed to be very good. Didn't know, but Gravity is still number one. All right. So Obamacare, we're going to talk a lot about Obamacare and the disaster in rolling out. And here's what's happening. And it's a very simplistic view, those anti-Obamacare people. They are arguing that Obamacare is a complete, utter failure. And what they're differentiating or do not differentiate is the difference between the rollout, which is a disaster, and the underlying premise of Obamacare. And they're pointing out that because the rollout is such an incredible disaster, which it is, therefore that proves that Obamacare in and of itself is a failure even before it kicks in. Because
grant you the website is a complete disaster.
It's a complete disaster.
But does that mean the policy is
That's exactly what we're... That doesn't make sense to me. Right. And then what I did is having, if memory serves, the C-17 Globemaster 3, which is the go-to transport plane that the U.S. Air Force as well as NATO uses. And when it first rolled out, and I think it was 1979 is the first time it came out. It was a disaster. The glitches were beyond belief. It went over budget, the design. They had design problems with the wings. They had design problems with the payload. And it was considered such a disaster that it came very close to being shut down. And the reason it didn't is because so much money had been invested in it. And it was...
you might be confusing the C-17 with the C-5A.
No, I'm talking about the C-17.
That's the perfect description of the C-5.
But it's also the C-17. Now, because I remember there was one of the psychologists that worked at our center. Her husband was quality control or quality assurance on that airplane for the Department of Defense.
In the 70s?
Yeah, 80s, actually. While they were building it and the prop, yes, in the 80s, he was involved in that. And it was, he was talking about what an utter disaster it was. And also the C-5A in the the Galaxy, right? The 5A?
Yeah, the C-5. And the C-5A is when they got things a lot of fixed.
So the point is, both of those aircraft are considered insane successes, are they not?
Well, the C-5 to a lesser degree.
But
the C-17 certainly a major success, yeah.
And now, after glitches that almost shut it down, and the point is that the basic premise, the basic fundamental design of the C-17 is a total winner. And the productions, the production models that came in after, everybody's thrilled with them. So here again, and the analogy I'm making is with Obamacare. We don't know if Obamacare is going to work or not, big picture, as it moves on. But come on, guys, just describe what is going on in terms of the rollout, in terms of the website. It's a disaster, granted. So therefore, based on that, let's shut it down. Let's shut down everything that doesn't work initially. Because there's no such thing as glitches. Now, at this point, it's a lot more than glitches. I mean, there's a lot more than just glitches in terms of rolling out the Obamacare, especially the websites.
It probably would be good if the president now announced a delay in the implementation for 3 months or 6 months.
I know, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen while they go back and fix it. Today, he's speaking 8:30 our time. And I assume we're going to be carrying that live, and I assume right on this topic. So we've got a lot to cover. Don't go away. We've got more, lots of stuff happening. NSA stuff. France and Mexico shocked that we were secretly taping them, watching them, intercepting emails, etc. So And the high-speed rail construction continues. That one may very well be a complete, utter disaster beginning to end. That may be completely, fundamentally flawed all through, and that's up for discussion, too. KFI AM 640, Hoffman, what is up for discussion in the news?
From Dana Point to Diamond Bar, no matter where you go, there we are. KFI.
More stimulating talk radio. Talk radio.
And it is KFI AM 640 handle here, October 21 on a Monday with the morning crew, and we are all here. Hey, how about them Dodgers, huh?
Yes, they flamed out.
Yeah, Clayton.
In a spectacular pratfall
it
Friday
It was
night.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. Pratfall.
I thought, wasn't there some kind of mercy rule in baseball when you have so many runs
well,
and the other
well,
team has zero?
Well, it's not Little League, Michelle.
No. Well, no. I just thought it was so, I felt so bad for them.
Did I was watching part of the game. Did Clayton Kershaw ever get a pitch off that didn't hit the ground? Not even one?
It seemed like that was happening a lot. Yeah, yeah. He certainly wasn't at his best.
Yeah, and at a couple of times, didn't he throw underhand to a few of those hitters?
No. No, but it was embarrassing enough without even doing that. It was, as Michelle said, quite embarrassing.
It was. I felt so bad for them.
At what point is the morale of a team sort of go in the toilet when a team scores four runs in one inning? Followed by five runs in another inning.
I think
is
I
that
think the
tough?
Four, I think the four they could deal with. You know, I mean, you still have a shot. I mean, okay, you're four runs down, but I mean, teams overcome four. But the five the next inning. School's out, baby.
You know, didn't it all start with that pickoff? What's his face? By what's his face? By the who's it's throughout. You know, whoever the hell it was that he threw out.
I think that was the
Dr. Seuss
the
book?
Earlier game.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That was. Am I mistaking what happened?
Yeah, when Nick Punto got thrown out at second, or picked off at second.
Oh, okay. You know, Michelle, what's on second?
Yeah. The who's it's versus the whatchamacallits.
Yeah. Okay. Just thought.
So what we've got are the Boston Red Sox and the St. Louis Cardinals.
And who cares, by the way?
Series.
Who actually cares?
Yeah, the Rip Breakers against the Duck Call Wannabes.
Who cares in Southern California?
Can I ask you something? And maybe Gary or Rich, maybe one of you can answer this. What is the deal with all the beards in baseball lately?
Like it's just a playoff thing. It's not just baseball.
Not just baseball.
It's hockey.
Like, but they're like they're just icky beards. They're not like they're trimmed nice or anything.
The Red Sox have really bad beards.
Yeah.
Brian Wilson is still my favorite hero in baseball. I love this guy.
It used to be baseball had a look. Like they all had that clean cut look.
Oh, that was mandatory. It was Disney.
Yeah.
It was Disneyland.
Now they're
don't you remember the Oakland A's though when they all had mustaches?
That's true.
They all had mustaches. And Raleigh Fingers was the best.
That's right. That handlebar mustache thing
exactly.
That he had.
Days. I kinda like the hair underneath the helmets and underneath the baseball caps that just flies off. Does anybody have a long ponytail in baseball?
I see guys with long hair, long enough to put in a ponytail.
No one
but
has the ponytail halfway down the back business, do they?
No.
I haven't seen that.
Just curious. So now I'll tell you who was devastated on this Dodgers win. Not only, of course, Dodgers loss.
Our sales staff?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was talking to one of the salespeople, Charlotte in particular, the other day. She had pre-sold a Dodgers package, a good, healthy Dodgers package, if the Dodgers went to the World Series. And she didn't even have to call whoever it was that bought it. I don't think he even talked to each other saying, never mind. And that costs a chunk of money to Clear Channel. Because can you imagine what they sell in terms of another? They would have had another game after this one if the Dodgers won. And then another game had, and then if the Dodgers won that, then you would have had all things being wonderful. Seven games after that. Oh, it's just a fortune that were to be made. That's assuming everything falls into place. I mean, assuming that four out of seven with the Dodgers winning. So. It's rather tough, to say the least. Hey, Rich, is there a major check written to anybody that is in the pennant playoffs, like the World Series. I know it was $130,000, $140,000, $150,000 to each player.
Yeah, I think they get a playoff share. Yeah, something small.
And the big one is the World Series. And the World Series winner gets a lot more, I'm assuming, than the World Series loser.
I don't know what it is anymore, but it used to be like $12,000. Now it's, I think, you know, probably a few hundred thousand.
I know one. My brother went to school with one of the bat boys that worked for the Dodgers. I think it was the bat boy that worked for the Dodgers. And a lot of teams, when they get the money, actually give the bat boy or the bat boys or the staff, the assistant staff, they split up one share, $120,000 amongst, let's say, 8-10 people, which is extraordinary. I mean, it's a huge chunk of money. The bat boy, when the Dodgers won, got a $100 bonus. I thought it was great. Those are my Dodgers, you know?
I was really hoping the Raiders would cut me a Super Bowl share.
And why not? And they didn't give you a jack, did they? Although you got a ring. But that was Gray Davis who made that call, right?
Gray Davis?
Yeah, you know, the owner of the A's.
The owner of the A's, Gray Davis.
Yeah, wasn't it? Who'd you get the ring from?
Al and the Raiders.
For Al Davis of the Los Angeles Raiders.
Oh, maybe I have a few teams confused. Hey, what can I tell you? Davis is a Davis. All right, what else do we have going?
Cousin did send me a picture. My cousin Dennis, who lives here in Burbank, sent me a picture of all his World Series tickets. That he had. They're very, very nice, very suitable for framing.
Of course they are. Hey, you know what? As a matter of fact, I know you don't wear your Super Bowl ring very often.
Hardly ever. Yeah.
Does anybody have we ever seen it on his fingers?
Yes.
When would you wear it? Under what circumstance would you wear it?
I had wanted to wear it for this last Manny Pacquiao fight. I would have done, you know, something really big like that.
Oh, come on. You wanted, I think I you may wear have worn it to impress it to
a, on the way to
I think I may have worn it to my Hall of Fame induction.
Last time I saw you wear it, Rich, was when Kristen brought it in to you after it had been recovered.
And you
were so excited. You put it on your hand and you didn't take it off for the rest of the day.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that at all. It was
Rich lost his mind. That
I remember. I don't remember that part. I remember, of course, we talked about finding the ring. It was somebody in Philadelphia or whatever that found the ring. It had been stolen. How many years earlier, Rich?
5 years. It was gone 5 years.
Yeah, and those are not inexpensive rings either. They cost...
I think the original cost of my ring was $3,500.
And that was a lot of years ago. I bet you today they're $12,000.
Could I still get that?
Yeah. I bet you can get a lot more than that because it's a true collector's item. I bet you can get a lot more than that. But it's a big honking ring. Doesn't it weigh 4 pounds?
Yes, it does.
All right. You know, we have to have a picture of your hand on that ring and put it up at the website.
I think I have to put it on my pinky now. I gained a few pounds from the 1984.
Yeah, you can have it sized. All right, we'll be back. A few more bits of news, and then we'll go right into handle on the news on a Monday, October 21. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Gary! KFI AM 640, handle October 21st on a Monday. We already did a couple of movie reviews this morning. I rarely do movie reviews, having seen two movies. Also watching Homeland on Netflix, incidentally. Not Netflix, Showtime on Demand. And Friday night, Cabrillo Music Theater, Kiss Me, Kate, with none other than Gray Davis. Kiss Me, Kate, Pol Quarter, probably the best musical Pol Quarter ever wrote.
Cole Porter.
That's what I said.
You said Pol Quarter twice.
I did not. In any case, do not correct me.
Pol Quarter.
Yes. In any case, it won. You'll remember this, Mike and Rich, because we're both of that age. It won the best musical in 1949. Remember that?
Kiss Me, Kate.
Oh yeah.
Based on Taming of the Shrew.
That's right. It's the music is terrific. There's some songs in there that are just terrific that you'll recognize. And also Gray Davis, of course, is wonderful as Gray Davis. One of the things that was fun, even though I did not see her at the performance, is the original star of Kiss Me, Kate. The gal who played in the Broadway premiere of Kiss Me, Kate.
That Hello, Dolly girl?
No, it wasn't Carol Channing. No, it
Carol
wasn't.
Carol Channing?
I forgot what the name of this gal was. But in any case, she came to see the production of Kiss Me, Kate. She's 99 years old and was in the original production. That's exciting. Doesn't that send chills up and down?
Did you make fun of her?
No, I did not.
Wow, really?
I would have, because I didn't meet her. If I had met her, I would make fun of her. In any case, it's one of those great revivals. I've decided that I like revivals more than anything else out there. I love revivals because these are musicals that have withstood the test of time. Going Showboat, 1927 or 29. South Pacific, 53, I think. Kiss Me, Kate, 49.
Would you remember her name?
No. Yeah, what is her name?
Patricia Morrison?
Yes, that makes sense. Yes, I do believe that's who they said. Anyway, it's at Cabrillo Music Theater in, I think, Thousand Oaks. And, it is worth seeing. Yeah, really worth it. It's genuinely terrific, and tickets are about half the price you would pay for a show at the Pantages or one of the major theaters, and it's still world-class Broadway stars that do this, and it's every bit as good as anything you'll ever see on Broadway. So Kiss Me, Kate, CabrilloMusicTheater.com, CabrilloMusicTheater.com, and if you go to see it, then you go ahead and email me, because I've never, ever had an email that said, "Gee, Bill, I went and was disappointed in your recommendation." Well, I've had a couple say, "Handel, it was the crappiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I want you to pay me the money back," which I won't do, incidentally. At one point, I actually did. You know that? I would return people's money if they didn't like it. Those days are long gone, because I have a feeling when I said that, there are a lot of people who didn't even go to see it and ask for their money back. They went through the trash cans.
Well, did
at
you
the
offer
theater.
To pay the money back?
I must have, because I had people that I said, "If you don't like it, then I'll pay your money back." And from what I understand, my guess is that I saw ticket stubs that I knew were in the trash can. You can just see them, that people had thrown out, and then someone was rummaging and picking them up. So I stopped that very, very quickly. So if you go to see Kiss Me, Kate, you're disappointed, too bad. All right, CabrilloMusicTheater.com, and you won't be disappointed. All right, New Jersey gays are getting married. Yes, that's true. And, at the wedding, and we're going to talk about this a little bit better, it was Brooker, the new senator, still the mayor of, I think,
Full Quarter.
Him too. And he performed the marriage 12:01 in the morning, just when the law kicked in, and he was dumb enough to say, "Does anybody object to this marriage?" Right, you've heard that. Did it happen to you? And when asking for objections, Hoffman?
Oh, yeah.
Did somebody speak up?
No. Did the ministerial?
Oh, that was part
person,
of it. Yeah.
Okay. And Rich, anybody asked for you?
Yeah, I think my mom objected.
Oh, I'm sure.
To both my marriages, yeah.
Mike, anybody ask for the priest, preacher person ask for objections?
Speak up now or forever hold your peace. Mm-hmm. No, nobody said anything.
No, did they ask?
Oh.
No one ever says anything.
Yeah, I don't remember if he asked or not.
All right, and Michelle?
I don't know. Gary, did you ask?
Did you ask?
I can check the script. I'm pretty sure I did ask.
Yeah, and I know in Larry's case, he's the one that objected. Anybody have? Yes, I object. And that worked out very quickly for him. And then, in my case, I don't think the rabbi actually asked for objections. But the point is that Booker Corey, in this case, did ask for objections. And someone screamed out from the audience that this is an illegal marriage as they dragged him off. And I love.
Was it Ted Cruz?
Yeah, could have been. And what I've always enjoyed people that when a court has ruled, scream that it is illegal, it is unconstitutional, after a court has deemed it constitutional. I've always enjoyed people who inevitably have, of course, no legal background, just yelling their interpretation of the law or a previous decision. It's always great fun when that happens. In any case, just for your edification, Mr. Whoever heckled and got thrown out of there for screaming it's illegal, it is legal. You may not like it, but it is legal.
And is it settled now? Because
no,
I thought
no,
still...
not at all. It's exactly the same thing that happened here in California when an appeals court said that this is legal. Gay marriages are legal. This was 4 months prior to Prop 8. And what the judge did, the justices in the appeals court said, we hold it to be legal. They knew that there was going to be a decision coming up. They knew there was going to be election. And they stayed the order pending the election or an appeal. The difference here is the Supreme Court of New Jersey refused to stay the order. Just let the lower court, the appeals court standing hold. Just wouldn't hear it. Which means that the lower court decision holds, which means that gay marriage is allowed right now, pending what the Supreme Court's going to do if it takes the case. No, as a matter of fact, it didn't take the case, just refused to take the case. So it's legal until a proposition happens. Okay, guys, coming up, Handle on the News, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.